I depend on the Lord to inspire us as we endeavor to apply ourselves during the week to reading and to asking the Lord to direct our thoughts. I've been reading a book in family worship about a consecrated life for the Lord. And one of the things it talks about in there, one chapter is devoted to growth as a spiritual person. And some of the points that are made by the author I feel like is very essential for us to get a hold of. And I'd like to talk to us today with the help of the Lord about spiritual growth. And I was reading this week, opened up my Bible to the 6th chapter of Matthew, and we'll start in the 25th verse. And as I was reading this passage of Scripture, that thought of from the book that we've been reading about spiritual growth just kind of came to my mind, and I began to meditate on that. So I feel like that's something the Lord would like for us to talk about today. So Matthew chapter 6, we'll begin reading in verse 25. He says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth ye have need of these things. But seek you first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Now, I know we've all heard these verses read before in a setting like this, and I know that all of us have had heard different inspiring thoughts and maybe messages from these verses. It's very comforting to know when we're in times of temporal distress, not knowing maybe how we're going to meet our bills or what we're going to eat or what we're going to wear and all those things, to know that God knows our situation and that He can care for us. But I also believe with all of my heart that to take these passages of Scriptures and to try to promote a doctrine of lethargy and a doctrine of just waiting to see what'll come by so you'll have something to eat is false doctrine. All right? The Scripture teaches us in Proverbs, it says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways." You prepare in the times when you can for the times when you might be in need. He says that the man that provideth not for his own house is worse than an infidel. So, there's too much in the Scripture about us being prepared. The Scripture teaches us in 2 Timothy 2:15 to study, to show ourselves approved. Don't just wait until the need arises to think about, I need something inspiring to say. Okay? But there is something in here that I believe, if we can get a hold of, I believe will help us. He uses this verse, this phrase, take no thought. Take no thought for your life. Don't be worried about what your life is going to consist of, and don't worry about your food, and don't worry about your clothing. And he repeats some of the same basic thoughts more than once. And I believe he's talking about undue effort, undue worry, undue concern and fretting. One of the thoughts in the book that we've been reading, we finished that chapter a while back, but is how that growth happens when the environment is conducive to growth. All right? So if we put the things in place for our vegetable garden to grow, for our livestock to grow, and all of those things, then unless there's disease or sickness comes along, they're going to grow. It's not because one of them is trying to outgrow the other one. They're just going to grow. When children come into the world, as long as they have adequate nourishment and adequate environment that's safe and secure, they're going to grow. But there's something about our children, we call it genetic makeup, is going to dictate how much they grow and what their appearance is. And those are things that's, you know, we could worry a lot about things that we can't, there's nothing we can change about it. We could be concerned about something that we want to be different, but worrying about it and fretting about it is not going to change anything. But if we put the things in place that growth needs for it to happen, then growth will occur, naturally speaking. I'm interested in this verse in particular, in the 27th verse that we read. It says, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Have you ever known someone that was worried about growing? I knew a man. I've been asking the Lord to help me with an illustration that would help, and I feel like he's dropped one in my mind right now. So maybe there'll be more. But I worked with a man one time that he was, probably 5'6". And his wife was about 5'2". Or three. And both of them together might have been a little bit heavier than I was. All right. So y'all kind of get this picture in your mind, what these people, how big a people they were. Well, he had a son, and his son got to be about, 15 or 16 years old, and he was about 90 pounds and a little over 5 feet tall. And he was worried about it. He wasn't growing. Well, I didn't think there was a whole lot to be concerned about, but he was. So he took him to the doctor, and they ended up giving this young man steroids and other things to try to help him grow. But you see, he was concerned. This verse says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? they were worried. They were fretting about this. This boy needs to be big and strong. Well, more than likely, he wasn't going to be. But they give him some things to try to make him grow. And he did grow some. I don't know if it was a result of what the treatments they were doing for him, or if it was just a result of him maturing a little more. But he eventually, I think he actually ended up being a little taller than his dad. So I'm wondering here if we get the picture of someone that's just overly concerned about growth. And I want us to think about something. I want us all to grow spiritually. And I believe one of the underlying burdens that any pastor would have is that the individual individuals in the congregation would grow spiritually and not just stay the same. We have a little child that gets up to walking age and starting to say a few words, and they don't learn any more words, or they don't keep growing. We don't, you know, sometimes we're distressed because we constantly have to find bigger clothing for our children. But I'm going to tell you, the alternative is something we don't want. We don't want our child to wear size 2 for 6 years. We don't want them to do that. We want them to get bigger. We want them to grow. We want them to mature. We want them to learn things. A pastor and God wants each one of us to grow spiritually. But you know, sometimes we can become overly charged in trying to muscle our way into something bigger. And I just want us to realize that what this passage of Scripture is saying to me is that none of us can force growth spiritually. We can't force the growth. We can't be worried about it and thinking, well, you know, I'm X number of years old, I've been going to church for X number of years, and, you know, just logically, I ought to be at this point spiritually. Well, I want to tell you, that's a trick of the devil, that he wants to set you up for discouragement. Yeah. Growth will happen, but I want us to look into what causes growth instead of feeling some kind of pressing obligation to meet our own expectations. Or maybe what we think other people think we ought to be, you see. Because if we think somebody else thinks something, then we can become, have this feeling of pressure, of responsibility. We can feel guilty because somebody else is not, maybe we're not measuring up to what we think somebody else's expectations are. And we can feel, we start thinking, like this verse talks about, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? I know the verbiage here is talking about a significant growth. A cubit is about a foot and a half. So which of you today can, what medical avenue would you seek out if you wanted to be another foot and a half taller? I've heard of people having their legs broke and some procedure, they break your legs and kind of space the bones out a little bit and let it grow back together, and then break it again and let it grow back together. And maybe you can gain as much as 2 inches in height. That's what I heard. That's a long ways from a cubit. And that's with all the advances of modern medical technology that we have today. It sounds like a painful way to grow, but he says here, which of you by worrying and fretting can gain a cubit? And you may think, well, you know, I ought to be further down the road. I ought to be more mature spiritually. I ought to be taking more responsibility. And you know, you can be so overcharged with feeling this need for spiritual growth that you actually hinder the growth that could occur. So listen to what this passage of Scripture says about maybe the first step of realizing how we get some growth. In verse 33, he says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Sometimes a young person maybe walks on to do some job shadowing, walks on, and they see something going on that they think would be exhilarating if they could just be allowed to do it. And they don't have the expertise, maybe they don't have the basic knowledge or understanding, but they want to be there, but they don't want to do the fundamental things first. Heard about a young man just recently that wants some credentials that the only way you can get them, I've been told, is by OJT, on-the-job training. That's the only way you're going to get these credentials. That's the only way you're going to get the approval or the recognition that you've achieved this. But he don't want to do the job of the lower one. He wants to get the credentials so he can do the upper level job. And he's in a dilemma because he wants to get it, but he doesn't want to do what it takes to get it. You ever known anything like that? And this scripture says, but seek you. See, that's worrying and taking thought about growing instead of just doing the things that will cause the growth. So he says here, but seek you first the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So when we seek a personal relationship with the Lord, we seek the things of God, and we begin to meditate on just getting to know the fundamentals of the Lord. And many times, if you get to a point and you feel like all your props have been pulled out from under you and you feel like you've tumbled down back to a level below what you used to be, this can be advice for us too. It's time to seek the Lord and His righteousness and allow these things to be added to us. Allow this growth to come, but seeking the Lord, seeking that relationship with Him. You know, it's kind of like any other growth. We've got to do the things that cause the growth instead of just wanting the growth. All right? So I'd like to go to Malachi, the fourth chapter, and notice a verse over here. Last book of the Old Testament that we have, I believe. Let's go to Malachi, the fourth chapter, and the second verse. And I believe the prophet here is talking about the age of Christ coming and what the New Testament brought. He says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." Now, calves of the stall. Some of us may know more about that than others, but a calf that's allowed to be out in the pasture will run. And they will burn off a lot of energy and a lot of calories. And especially a small calf, a day like today, where the sun is shining and maybe they get their tummies full and they get to feeling exhilarated, and they'll stick their little tail up kind of at about a 30 degree angle and they'll take off just running. And they'll run halfway across the field. And if one of them runs, then if there's others in the field, they're liable to run too. But a calf of the stall is different than that. He doesn't get that opportunity. And the reason that you have a calf in the stall is because you don't want him to burn off all of that energy. You want him to get fat, pack on some pounds, and maybe pack on some marbling because you're going to put him on the table one of these days. Well, He says, when Jesus comes, he's going to heal the brokenness. There's going to be healing in his wings. And ye shall grow up as calves of the stall. There's going to be an opportunity to eat to your fill. You know, just one buffet after another. And no opportunity to just burn it off. The whole intent here is that growth would happen. You know what happens when we get an experience with Jesus? We have an opportunity that the people of the Old Testament never had. We have an opportunity to have a relationship with Christ. And instead of being worrying about some kind of political thing that we perceive that might be happening, and who gets to do this and who gets to do that in the church, you know, the devil will come along and tell you that it's a political thing, and it's not. It's something that, and we're going to get to that. The Lord wants us to grow up like calves of the stall, but we got to first seek God in His righteousness and begin to take in that nourishment for ourselves. And Malachi here is prophesying that if we will do that, then we're going to grow up like calves of the stall. The more we eat, the more food's going to be in front of us. You're going to take a calf that's 9 or 10 months old, and you're going to fatten it up. What do? You feed him all the grain he'll eat today, and tomorrow, as soon as he starts cleaning up all the grain, if you're feeding him a bucket of grain, and tomorrow you feed him a little bit more, and you want him to where he's just so full that he leaves just a few crumbs. You don't want him wasting it, but every day you just increase his feed just a little, or every week or whatever it is. Pull him. You ever heard of an animal being on full feed? That's what he's talking about. Just a little more and a little more. Just giving them all they'll eat. And when you're doing that, that animal is not thinking about, well, I'm really growing. You don't put a mirror in the stall with the calf so he can look at himself and see how he's growing. You don't do that. You just give him the food and he grows. Because he has an appetite. We must have an appetite for nourishment from the Lord. And when we have an appetite like a calf of the stall, and we eat everything that's dished out for us, tomorrow he'll give us a little more. And we'll eat all of that, and the next day there'll be a little more. It's like the manna that they had in the Old Testament. They went and gathered. It seems like whether they gathered a wash tub full or a bucket full, there was enough to go around. And tomorrow there was more. There was just always enough for them. So if we will apply ourselves to eat, we gotta open the Word. We gotta say our prayers. We've got to tell the Lord what's distressing us. We've got to ask Him for input. We got to say, Lord, I need an answer. There's going to be some times that we need some answers. And you know, many times the answers we get are from the scriptures we read before. We needed the answer. That's called growth. And we didn't even know it was fixing to happen. But we've been putting stuff in our head and in our hearts. We've been cultivating a relationship with Him. And then there comes a time that we have a need in our life. We need to know, what should I do here? What's the decision I ought to make? And the Lord's able to bring back that verse that you read. Might have been last week. Might have been last month. Might have been something you read that morning. And He's able to take that verse and say, this is the way. Walk ye in it. And when you do that, maybe a few days later, this little light bulb will go off in your head, and it's like, you know, a few months ago, I would have not been able to make that decision. I would have not been able to make that level of consecration. Maybe a year or two ago, I wouldn't even realize that the Lord could give me an answer like that. And there's this little revelation that we get of, I must have grown. And that's how it ought to happen. Yes. Instead of saying, here, move over, let me in there. I can do that. No, that's not what it's all about. When we apply ourselves to eating what the Lord gives us, growth is going to happen.
Yes,
he says, which of you by taking thought can grow a cubit? I certainly can't. And I doubt seriously anybody else can. Which one of us can say, you know, I'm 51 now. It's time for me to be taking charge of whatever. Well, did we eat enough? Have we grown? Have we put in practice? The Lord is, I'm going to tell you something else about spiritual growth and responsibilities and all of that. When the Lord has somebody that has been applying themselves to eating what He sets before them, cultivating that relationship, you know what's going to happen? And there's going to be a door open, and you're going to be the one standing in front of the door. And it's going to be like, well, okay, there's the door. Well, I guess it's time for me to walk through that door. And that's how it's going to happen. That's the way the Lord wants it to happen. Instead of you, how many of y'all, if you can remember, being in line, especially in grade school, standing in the lunch line and you're hungry? I know what it's like. I remember those days. You're standing in the lunch line, and here comes somebody coming in, and they talk to somebody here, and they talk to somebody. Next thing you know, they're up there somewhere. They've been cutting in line. How'd they get up there? Well, I'm going to tell you, you just don't have real friendly feelings about that, do you? And the Lord, see, that's taking, you're plotting ahead. You're taking it in your own hands. And that's disastrous to spiritual growth, taking it in your own hands. What we have to do is take no thought. Like the Lord was telling them there in Matthew 6, the Sermon on the Mount. He says, don't sweat it. If you'll do the things that produce growth, growth will happen. And before you know it, you'll be standing in the right square in front of opportunity, and you'll look around like, well, I guess it's for me. This is the place the Lord wants me. But it don't happen because I've been elbowing my way up there successfully. All right? There are those that have elbowed their ways. Now, you think about the one that elbowed their way to the front of the line. They got their meal and they went and set it. How many friends did they get to set with them? Did you go set by them? Probably not. Unless I had an assigned seat in the lunchroom, I wasn't going to go sit by that guy. He just cut in line. You see, the Lord, when He puts the growth on you, when it happens, there's going to be an opportunity. It's going to be palatable. There's going to be people that are inviting you to come in to this new opportunity. I'm talking about spiritual growth. And 1 Peter 2. We know this verse, 1 Peter 2, beginning at verse 1. He says, when I get there, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings. So see, there's something we can do to put the right ingredients in place for spiritual growth. Lay aside the things that we know that are contrary to spiritual growth. Lay aside the malice and the guile, the discrepancies, the deceptions. Get rid of all of that. Lay aside the hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings. You know, some of those that do the evil speaking are the ones that's wanting to grow. And they're trying to tear somebody else down so they look like they're above them. No, that's not the way you grow spiritually. He said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. If we will desire the spiritual food for our own benefit, there's going to be growth that happens. He says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I believe everyone here has had a taste that the Lord is gracious, that He's good to us. And Lord, help us all to cultivate an appetite for spiritual food and not feel like we've got to get ourselves in a place where others would recognize I'm old enough or I'm big enough or I'm mature enough, but the Lord will open the doors. He'll make it happen. It just works that way. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, another common scripture here, Ephesians chapter 4, begin reading in verse 11. He says, "And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." You know, there's a need for spiritually mature individuals in the body of Christ. There's a real need. And just because we see a need doesn't mean we start assessing ourselves and promoting ourselves. He says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith," this is still part of the need for maturity and for growth, "and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." That means grown up. That means mature. "That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro." That's immature. That's children. "And carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." There is a beautiful picture of the church here in my mind. If we can get this picture in our mind of the church being a body of its different components that's all working together harmoniously, collectively, for the good of the whole thing, and realizing that the beauty of the thing, and saying, "Lord, help me to just be what You want me to be." And I'm telling you that the Lord will open the opportunities for you at the right time, at the right place. He's not going to, you may feel a little nudging, and it may be a little bit apprehensive, but you're going to realize it's time. This is the time for me to be this part of the body. It's time for me to be the hand. It's time for me to be the foot. It's time for me to be the ear or the neck or whatever it is. It's time for me to be that. There's been some growth that's happened. And then in 1 Corinthians, Paul tells the church at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians 12 and 18... One verse here. He says, "For first of all," this is not what I want. I got to get in chapter 12. He says, "But now hath God set the members, every one in the body, as it hath pleased Him." So every component in the body, the Lord puts them there. And when we try to elbow our way in and not growing into the place the Lord wants us, it don't really fit. All of us that have ever built anything have come to the place that we realize that pieces that fit together, it's so nice to work with that. If you got something that don't fit, and some of us know what sledgehammer adjustments are. And those are just not the ideal thing. We don't like to work with stuff that needs sledgehammer adjustments. You know, the Lord, it's not very profitable for the Lord to work with things that need sledgehammer adjustments. He wants us to grow. He wants us to mature. He wants us to be in the place that... I think of it like this. It's like having a whole tool chest full of tools for every conceivable thing that might be need to be addressed. And everything in there is usable. I'll tell you this. If you ever go to an auction sale and buy somebody's toolbox that has tools in it, you're going to get some stuff in there that's just junk. It's broken stuff, and instead of throwing it away or fixing it, they just put it back in the drawer, put it back in the tool chest. And when you get it and you're going to take it home and you're going to dig through it, and it's like, why is this in there? And you probably got some of it yourself. But it's... the church should be like a toolbox that everything in there is functional. Everything in there has a purpose. Not everything is used on every job. But when you go to do a task and you need something, when the Lord needs something and He can reach in there and pick out the part, the tool that He needs, and put it to use. That's the way I see that's the way I see the church, the picture of the church. I believe a marriage is a beautiful thing, should be a beautiful thing. I believe the church should be a beautiful thing. It should be a picture that we stand in our minds, and we ought to be able to stand back and say, Lord, only You could paint a picture like that. Only You could give us the illustration of how it works together. And I believe that the Lord wants every one of us here to be growing, to be in a place that the Lord can reach over. And He knows where we're at. He knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. He wants to be able to reach in, that pull that drawer out or lift the lid or whatever you want to, however you want to picture it in your mind. And He wants to be able to reach in and lift out that instrument, whatever it is, and put it to work in that particular task. And that's those times that you've been wondering, Lord, I've been eating, I've been doing what I should have been doing, but I don't know what You want out of me. I don't know what function I have in the body. It's okay to ask those questions. It's okay to wonder, what does the Lord have in store for me? But I'm going to tell you, when it comes time, the door, it's going to be like you're standing there and all of a sudden there's a door that opens and it's like, well, it's time to go through the door. It's time to... the Lord's going to use whatever you have grown to be. He's going to use that in that particular situation. So my challenge to us this morning is, don't be overcharged with thinking about what I ought to be or what I should be or what other people think I ought to be or those kind of... You can just get overwhelmed. And it can be something that you can actually become discouraged when you ought to be encouraged. You can begin to feel oppressed about, well, I know brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so thinks that I ought to be in a place to do such-and-such. And, you know, the Lord knows where you're at. And the Lord wants you to grow. But just focus on growing. Just focus on eating like that calf in the stall. Clean up what the Lord pours out for you. If He gives you a pound of sweet feed, then eat it. If He gives you 3 pounds of sweet feed, then eat it. And I'll tell you, here's the deal about calves eating sweet feed. If you get them worked up to where they're eating 3 pounds... You know, before long, 3 pounds is not going to be completely satisfying to them. They're going to want 4 pounds. And for us, our appetites ought to increase. And that's a sign of spiritual growth. If we're only satisfied with 6 ounces, then maybe we ought to work on our appetite, stretch our tummies out just a little bit for spiritual things. Maybe try 7, and then 8, and then 9. I've said something similar to this recently. I'm not for us becoming obese as physical individuals, but I'm all for us being fat in our souls.
Yes.
I'm all for that. I'm all for us growing. I'm all for the next generation being bigger and stronger than I am spiritually. I'm all for that. But you're going to get there by cultivating an appetite. You're going to get there by eating what's set in front of you, by allowing it to do what it should do. You're not going to get there by trying to force your way into it. Don't be concerned about, I need to grow a cubit. Be concerned about, seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. You remember what Matthew records Jesus is saying in the 5th chapter of Matthew. He says, over here, the blessed are they, 6th verse, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If we have an appetite for spiritual things, growth is going to happen. If we just want prestige and honor, I'm going to tell you, we're going to be running into snags and troubles all along the way. But when we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we'll be filled, we'll grow, there'll be opportunities that open, there'll be responsibilities handed to us that we'll wonder, can I do this? And the Lord will say, this is the way. Walk. I'll go with you. I'll help you. I'll be there for you. You pray for me. I want to grow spiritually.